You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, I'm really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about Oxford Young Professionals. And to do that, we're joined by two absolute superstars from the wonderful NGI Finance over in Witney. We're joined by Danny Jenkins and Alex Innocenti. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our two guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. So if you are just tuning in, we're joined by Danny and Alex, both of NGI Finance, and we're talking about Oxford's Young Professionals. So let's start with you, Danny. For those who don't know you and NGI, who are you and who is NGI?
Thanks, Ben. So I'm Danny. It's very nice to be on the radio this morning. And I am here representing NGI Finance this morning. We are a commercial finance broker based in Witney, with a particular focus on asset finance, business loans, invoice finance, commercial mortgages. So whether it's funding some new stock or releasing cash tied up in invoices, we can help find those funding requirements for your business.
Amazing. Perfect. And similarly, Alex, please introduce yourself and indeed any other parts of the business.
Yes. So I'm Alex. I've been at NGI Finance for 2 years. We have another arm of the business called NGI Franchise Funding. And that's where we help with all things franchises. That's from, you know, the start to finish. That can be business plans, funding applications, ongoing support. So, you know, we've got the two arms, the commercial and the franchise side. And I help with both.
Amazing. Perfect. Alex, I'm going to ask you one of the two toughest questions now, and I'm going to pick on you. So as with Danny later in the show, you have kindly volunteered to be a DJ for a couple of moments and choose a song for our listeners. So what is your song choice and why have you picked it?
It's Billionaire by Bruno Mars. And the reason I chose it, I just thought it was appropriate. You know, everyone wants to be a billionaire, I suppose, and we're in the business of money. So I thought it'd be a good choice.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're talking to two of Oxford's Young Professionals. I'm really going to give you an insight as a business owner in terms of how to support our next generation, but also if you are a young professional yourself, in terms of some hints and tips across the way. And to do that, we're joined by two experts. We're joined by Alex Innocenti and Danny Jenkins of NGI Finance. So let's start by starting the roundtable discussion, if that's okay. So Danny, I'll start with you. So how strong is Oxford Young Professionals and what kind of things happen within the Oxfordshire Young Professional community?
I would say that there is a lot going on and it's very strong at the moment. There are societies that people attend every month, and that can be sort of more relaxed events, open bars, or quite a lot of the time sponsored events. So firms in Oxford will on event, and you can go along, meet people similar to yourselves. I would say coming into the Oxford sort of networking scene, a lot of people already know each other. So I think it's quite a nice opportunity really to really get involved with those circles. There's a lot going on at the minute, I would say.
Absolutely. Alex, what's your take on this piece? Let's maybe focus on the networking to start with. Like, what have been your experiences if you look back to when you first started out, and then more over the coming months and indeed years?
Yeah, so you know, leading on from Danny, I think the Oxford Network community is quite a close-knit community. A lot of people already know each other. You know, the professionals know the professionals, the business owners know the business owners. So once you're in the network, it's, you know, it's a great opportunity to talk to everyone. You know, you're all local. Oxford's not a massive city. And yeah, it's just a great space where, you know, you got everyone together and you can build business together.
No, absolutely. And Alex, as with Danny, actually, and we'll come back to Danny in a moment. I remember shortly after you joined NGI, I met you at an event very early on. And I'm just keen to understand really what you feel makes a good event, and going into kind of one of your early events when joining a new organization as a young professional, like what makes a welcoming environment? What can event leaders do to make an event, I guess, more appetizing to our Oxford young professionals?
So for me, you know, going when I joined NGI, I was, you know, these were my first networking events that I attended. Yeah. So it's quite daunting as a young professional, and you don't really know what you're doing at that point. Mm-hmm. Or what you're speaking about. So I think, you know, for me, the most relaxing and best way to go to a networking event is just a relaxed one, you know, not structured. You just maybe an open bar, you know, general networking, just get into conversations, not necessarily, you know, for me personally, I don't like going into networking events where it's like, so what do you do? And how do you do it? And what can you do for us? Or what can I do for you, sort of thing? So if that makes sense.
Absolutely. It's all about relationships, isn't it? Yeah. And Danny, very similarly, I met you at one of your first networking events as well. What was your approach? Because you really had jumped into networking, didn't you? And you attended a lot very early on. What was your approach, and why did you choose to go to so many events so quickly?
I think for me, it was a really good opportunity just to push myself out of my comfort zone. I knew I was never going to be sort of a natural. I think sort of going into these events, you hear about, you hear these stories and you think, oh, you know, you need to be really confident and an extrovert to, you know, really, really get involved and make the most out of the events. But actually, I think what I learned over time was you can, the most important part of networking, in my opinion, a lot of it is listening. So actually, just being yourself, relaxed is what Alex said, and just remembering that, you know, you have two ears, one mouth, listen to what people are saying around you, think about the smaller details, really remember things that people, you know, either sharing with you personally or professionally, and I guess, you know, not putting too much pressure on it. I know that it's really easy to, especially if you're in a sales role, sometimes you know, you've got targets and things like that. But actually, when it comes to networking, just really, like what you said, Ben, just honing on those relationships and find your people. And you'll find events as well that you prefer, you're more comfortable with certain formats. Sometimes, you know, you'll be asked to do a pitch in front of a room. Sometimes they are more relaxed. But in both sort of scenarios, you can find opportunities to develop professionally, practice your pitch, for example. So yeah, I think it was, for me, it was more of a just sort of go for it, find what I like and stick to the ones that I do like.
No, absolutely. It's a really interesting point that you both make there, is you've both spoken about relationships, and actually I think that can extend past young professionals. I think nobody wants to be sold to, do they? And actually, I think it's about some of the relationships that you meet in the room can add so much more value to each party in terms of, yes, work, but also that professional development piece. Alex, in terms of those relationships, talk to me about, if you were to put your NGI finance hat on, and we'll come back to NGI, but some of the best relationships that can happen for you as a firm, because I know that before yourself and Danny there, Chris and Maria have always been great advocates of networking, haven't they? So just talk to me about your experience in that area.
Yeah, so you know, NGI, that's the thing. We build our relationships on professional relationships with accountants, solicitors, whoever it be. So, you know, having a strong relationship with these people, you know, it leads to so much more. So, you know, they if they have a client and, you know, we have a good relationship with them, that we're going to get recommended just from the relationship that's been built, you know, on the back of Chris and Maria, who own NGI, And then now Danny and us, and me, sorry, going networking. So it's the most important thing is just building that strong professional relationship where they feel like they can trust us to, you know, take their client and run with it.
No, absolutely. And Danny, I'm keen to talk about the difference between a young professionals event, because I know that you attend them, but also a Let's Pick on Open Doors as a really great example. How do they differ? Because they're both really great, aren't they? But they're both equally very different, is my understanding, albeit I'm far too much of an old man for a young professionals event.
That's a good question, actually, because I like certain aspects of each event. I think the Open Doors events, for me, obviously I only attend on behalf of Chris when he's unable to go, but I think it's inspiring listening to business owners that have done really well for themselves. For example, listening to your talk a couple of months ago, Ben, around, you know, your plans to retire, and just sort of, I feel like with Open Doors, you're going on a journey with those business owners. It's a very open sort of space where people share, you know, struggles, what they're going through. And I guess it's a good opportunity for me to understand the mind of a business owner. Whereas a lot of the time that helps with my everyday job, because I am speaking to a lot of business owners, you know, I understand that the struggles that they're dealing with at the minute. And I then get those sort of real life examples at a networking event. So I'm able to relate on that sort of level. But other than that, I think like the Oxford Young Professional Society events, it's just so good because I can relate to them on a different level. And a lot of us actually do feel the same, and you do sort of have those initial conversations around, oh, you know, I was nervous coming here, or, you know, is this your first time? I think the society's been going for, I think, something like 15 years. So I guess the mindset with that is the more you sort of attend those events, ideally those relationships will then transfer into future relationships. Because at the moment, you know, I'm at like an account management level, and others within the society are the same, but I'm very much aware that in the future, you know, there'll be the next generation of partners and vice versa. So just it's important to set the foundations now, I think. But yeah, both have benefits, and I enjoy both for different reasons.
No, absolutely. I always think it's so fascinating when you go into a networking room in Oxfordshire and you see people that have been friends for 20 years, and actually they started out as young professionals, and now, as you rightly say, they are partners and built those strength of relationships over that period of time. Danny, I'm going to put you on the spot now, and I'm going to ask you a really tough question, as I did with Alex. Can you match Alex's song choice in terms of quality? What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I'm going to go for Money, Money, Money by ABBA, because again, it's, you know, we help businesses fund source money, and I just feel like everyone's going to enjoy it on their Sunday morning. You can't go wrong with a bit of ABBA. So yeah, that's my choice.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by Danny and Alex, both of NGI Finance, and we're talking about Oxford Young Professionals. I'm really keen to build the conversation onto professional development, because I think both of you are really driven to learn. But actually, I think that if I look at a lot of the young professionals we speak to here in Oxford, one of the big values that they get through networking and through the world of work is that professional development and that growth and that learning. And it's something I can definitely relate back to. I remember starting networking, and I think one of the biggest values I got early on was that, I guess, public speaking. I was always very confident talking 1-2, 1-3, 1-4 or whatever on a sporting pitch. But talking in front of a room of business people can be quite different, can't it? What's been your take, Alex, in terms of that professional development piece?
Yeah, so when you start out, you know, you're going to be nervous. For example, I came straight out of university. You don't have much experience in the real business world. And like I said earlier, you know, when you first start out, you don't know what you're talking about. But that's why going to networking and presenting and doing this public speaking is so important. It builds your character as a person, and it builds your skills as a business person at the same time. it's an invaluable experience, and I just it's got to be done. You've got to step out of your comfort zone sometimes and just get it done, in my opinion.
Well, what's your take on that, Danny?
I almost don't want to say fake it till you make it, but I think there is an element of that. For me, the daunting part is always walking into the room. But I would say, you don't know who's going to be in there. But I would just say the more events that you do, the more likely it is that you're then going to see someone that you know. And, ideally, the host of the event, you could reach out to them beforehand and ask them to introduce you to someone, or just sort of let them know that you are maybe perhaps a bit nervous. So whether they can sort of take you under their wing. But another good tip that I heard of a couple of years ago was to hover around the coffee machine, just to offer, a coffee or a biscuit or something, but just to almost, if you're not naturally comfortable going up and speaking to someone, even if it's just offering them a biscuit, it's sort of breaking the ice.
Absolutely. And I think people often buy people, don't they? I think it's a really key theme of this show. And I think that particularly within your sector, and I'm not going to proclaim to be an absolute expert, but I think that actually the world of finance is FCA regulated. Of course it is. And I think the wonderful team at NGI you've got a really, really experienced team behind you. But I think that for every business, even when you're not regulated, it's really important to have that confidence sometimes to say, I don't know the answer, but I'll get my team to find that answer, which I think is really great. And I imagine, Alex, that through networking, sometimes you meet business people who have a real challenge. And actually, there isn't a one size fits all. There isn't an obvious way to fix it. And it requires a lot of expertise and a lot behind that. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every single business requirement is completely different. There's so many products that can help with different aspects of the business, depending on what their issue is. Mm. And, ever since I started, Chris has always told me, if you don't know the answer, that's fine. You can get the answer. So you don't need to blag your way through it, especially as an FCA regulated business. You can't. Mm. So ultimately, if you don't know the answer, you go and ask someone that does know the answer, and then you come back to the client. And that's the best way around it.
Absolutely. And Danny, I again, just staying with NGI Finance, if that's okay. I think that, what you do is great, isn't it? NGI have got a great reputation, starting from Chris and Maria in the very early days. But I imagine that it's really exciting for clients to come to you and say, I'd really like this finance because we're going to open up a new division, or we're going to buy this, or we're going to launch this or invest in this. But I appreciate that it's probably less easy to have the conversation in terms of, we're really struggling to pay our wages, we're really struggling to do that, because they've met you through networking. What's your advice to those listening? And this is probably twofold. If somebody is listening and they are struggling financially and they feel that they need some finance in the business, what's the best way to approach the conversation? And should they be embarrassed by that? So let's do that in two parts. And then also, really, what's your advice for fellow professionals like yourself and Alex in terms of making yourselves really approachable and being able to have that conversation? Big question, sorry, but hopefully you can deduce that.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one. It was certainly one that when I first started, I wasn't sure how to approach. I would say absolutely nothing to be embarrassed about. It's really, really, really common. Even businesses that are super profitable still require finance. So that is absolutely nothing to feel ashamed of. I would say the benefit of having a finance broker that you trust and know and hopefully like is you can be really honest with them. So the more information that you share, the better they can help you. And I guess as a package of what we do, we put together an application for a lender, and the more sort of transparency we have, the better we can sort of position it. Resulting in hopefully a nicer sort of offer from a lender. So I would just say that the more that you share with us, the more we can help you. And I think as well, just knowing that for me, turning up to networking events and being consistent is really important. Whether you have some plans in the back of your mind and you really want to take some next steps for the business, but you're not sure whether you can fund it, just even just an open-ended question like, NGI, we're very much relationship based. We're not sort of going to chase and follow you on, you know, up on email or anything like that. We're always here to help whenever the time is right. And hopefully, you know, we've got about 120 lenders, so I'm pretty certain that we can help them basically.
Oh, absolutely. And Alex, just in terms of that lender piece, because I think there's different types of networking, isn't there? There's networking with potential clients. There's networking with people that are peers. So we've spoken about the young professionals. There's networking with potential friends. There's or referrers. And then there's also in terms of the lenders, because I think one of the benefits from an outside point of view of working with a broker is that, as Danny's so rightly said, you've got a panel of 120 lenders and you're building relationships there. So how do you go about building relationships with lenders and really kind of them getting to know you and you getting to know them?
Yeah, so with lenders, you know, it's really important to just constantly stay in touch and have a good relationship with them. The better relationship we have with a lender, you know, the better terms we could potentially get, or the quicker we can turn something around. So, you know, quarterly calls, just catch up with our account managers or our BDMs, attending, you know, such events, and, you know, they invite us to drinks events in London, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very important just to keep them, you know, close, just so so they can offer the best terms to us and we can offer the best service to our clients. But yeah, it's just, you know, it's just keeping in constant contact with them, having a bit of a laugh with them on the phone, give them a call, you know, just build that like a friendship relationship, but still professional at the end of the day.
No, absolutely. And Danny, I know that we've spoken from a networking point for quite a lot in terms of building relationships. We've spoken from a client point of view. And I'm really keen to talk about colleagues, because I think that coming out of education at a university, like, everyone's like you, aren't they? Like, you might be a bit different, but you're a similar age, a similar background, probably doing similar courses. And then at school, it's exactly the same. So what was the learnings for you, like, coming out and working with a team of course, Chris and Maria are 21, but working with a team where you're working with different ages, different interests, different backgrounds? Like, how do you go about that environment, and how does it feel?
Honestly, I love it. I feel like there's such a good opportunity to learn through everyone else's careers. I know that, well, most of the colleagues in the office, they are all ex-bankers. So they've effectively worked for the lenders that we're now talking to. So we can almost, you know, capitalize on that. We've got insights that we probably wouldn't have otherwise. And everyone in their own way has been, you know, super successful. So I think it provides an opportunity for myself and Alex just to almost get sort of fast track, insights into an industry that we're new to.
Absolutely. And actually, I think it's worth remembering, isn't it, that every business in reality needs cash. And I think that one of the things that we heard in a past show, which has always sat with me, is the biggest reason that businesses stop or charity stop is because of money. And actually, you've got to focus on profit. You do, because actually, so the reason why 50% of charities stop within the first year is because of money. Every charity is set up to do good. But actually, in reality, if you don't have the cash to do good, you're going to stop. So it is actually by having that really experienced team around you. And I think that this can be extended to any sector, can't it? And by absorbing information and learning best practices and learning best ways, you're going to learn so much more. Alex, I'm going to take you back to uni days, if that's okay, or education days. And I'm really, really keen to understand, if you were to predict, and maybe you did have some of these conversations, if you were to look at your classmates and your friends coming out of education, what were the big factors for those individuals? And I think I'm really trying to give an insight for the Oxfordshire business that is potentially looking to hire. What are those key drivers in terms of, are we looking at benefits? Are we looking at professional development? Are we looking at a nice fancy office? What are those key things? And maybe not with your head now, but really focused on when you were at a graduate stage.
Yeah, so I think with a lot of my classmates at uni, it was the big dream of moving to London, going to a big four accountancy, or you know, fancy offices, lots of perks. I think that is still very much the culture in uni now. I mean, it definitely was when I was there. But for me, you know, I liked Oxford. I didn't particularly want to move to London, and I found the perfect place with NGI doing what I wanted to do. So it was a perfect fit. But I still think that, you know, the big dream back then, along conversations, is, you know, get into London, get into the city, you know, get an apartment and just crack on, sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there will always be, the education system will always encourage a certain percentage of people to go and work for that big four accounting firm, or work for that big corporate, or work for that well-known brand. But there is definitely a benefit of working for an SME as well, isn't there? What's your take? I'm going to start with you, Alex, and then I'm going to come on to Danny. Having now worked for an SME, what do you see as the big benefits of working for an SME? Because I think that, of course, there's always a good, bad and ugly of every organisation. But I guess, speaking quite broadly, not just NGI, what do you see as the benefit of working for a small business?
So for me, it's progression. You know, we work for an SME, and within 6 months, you know, I'm moving up. I'm getting a lot more responsibility. I'm dealing with clients firsthand. And that experience is just invaluable for your future career. I think when you're thrown into the deep end, you really, really learn, and you learn how to deal with stuff effectively. Maybe with a bigger sort of business, you know, that progression is going to be a bit slower. But with an SME, you know, you really have that opportunity there to drive your own progression through the business and become, you know, a key member of the team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Danny, from your own perspective, I think one of the things that I've always noticed about you when we spoke through networking is you really want to learn, don't you? So I can guess learning's going to be part of your answer, although I'm not trying to put words into your mouth. But what was your kind of big factor coming out of university? What were the kind of the key drivers? And I guess, what was the reason that you've worked in the small business market as opposed to necessarily gone to a big organisation?
Yeah, I think for me, it's... obviously, I am very motivated and do want a successful career. However, I'm sort of trusting the process that will happen in the future. Right now, my priority is focusing in on my skills, my experience, just almost being like a sponge and just absorbing everything around me, because that's something I can't learn in a textbook. That is very much my priority. There'll be times where I can, you know, worry about money once I have other responsibilities. But for the time being, I just think surrounding yourself with people that you can learn from is priceless, in my opinion, and something that I definitely get a lot of working for an SME. And, you know, we work in the same office. If I need to ask a question, I can just sort of shout across the room, obviously very politely, and I can get a response in, you know, 5 seconds, as opposed to sort of having to chase other departments or anything like that. So yeah, it definitely makes that sort of transition and through learning a lot easier with everyone just sort of being in the same area, same office, and same space with the same motivation, really.
Absolutely. And of course, I'm biased owning a small business, but I think that one of the things that I would really encourage, if you're leaving education looking to build a career, I think that one of the big differences between working for a small business to a big business that I see as a recruiter is, I think that within small businesses, you'll wear a lot more hats. You'll be a lot closer to the owner. You'll be a lot closer to potentially heads. You'll be a lot closer to the client. And I think that, of course, there's more to learn there. Of course there is. Of course there is more information to absorb. Using your example, Danny, the sponge needs to take more water. Of course it does. But actually, if I then think about who we deal with as a recruiter at 30 and 40 and 50 and beyond, actually, I think what employers look for there is knowledge. So the more knowledge we can absorb early career, the better. I'm really keen to... Bring the conversation on a little bit, if that's okay, to really kind of a bit of a finance conversation, if that's okay. And of course, we're FCA regulators, we cannot give financial advice. But I'm just really keen to see, like, what you're seeing on the ground, if that's okay, in terms of, like, there's been a lot that's been shouted about in terms of economic climates and America and wars, etc. But how strong is the economy here in Oxfordshire? Like, what are you seeing on the ground in a non-technical way? I'll start with you, Alex.
I think with, you know, all the tariffs, all the you know, economic and political background we've had over the last couple of months, it's been really sticky for business owners. And I think they, you know, they've put a halt on things for a while, just while it's settled. Now the dust has settled, you know, we're seeing, you know, requirements for working capital go through the roof at the minute. You know, there's lots of peaks and troughs. And I think that need for, you know, that general working capital to plug cash flow gaps, that kind of thing, is really prevalent at the minute.
Absolutely. Interesting. No, really, really interesting. Thank you both for your thoughts so far. We'll continue the conversation after this.
This is the Business Brunch podcast from Get Radio, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about to young professionals. And of course, to do that, we're joined by Danny and Alex, both of NGI Finance. So I'm sure we've touched on finance just a little bit. It's a topic that I really enjoy. So I am touching on the finance bit a little part. So Danny, I think one of the big things that that from an outside point of view is I think a lot of employers presume what young professionals are looking for. I think that there's lots of studies about Gen Z want this and we want that and so on and so forth. But I think actually in reality, from my own experience, I think that it's not that straightforward. And I think that actually there's a lot of things small businesses can do to make themselves really attractive to our Oxford young professionals and the next generation. So I guess if you were to look back to your time at university, or if you were to, I guess, kind of predict what some of the people are going to be looking for now. And I know that we've touched on this a little bit. What are some of the things you can do as a small business to really make yourself really attractive to our next generation of young professionals?
I would certainly say career progression is a big one. A lot of my friends they've gone to uni, but they now need to put their skills to use. So a business that is offering a place where they can then hone in on those skills, whether it's working on new projects, whether it's exposure to something that they've not done before, but really just giving that young person the opportunity to learn.
No, that's a really good point. Yeah, really, really good. And I think learning is a massive thing, isn't it? Like, really, really massive thing. What's your take on this, Alex? And I know we've built on this quite a lot, but I think that when putting together these shows, I think a lot of our listeners are business owners. And I think that a lot of business owners here in Oxfordshire are really looking to get this real next generation of talent. I think they would, yeah, I think any insight that they can get to making themselves really a lot more attractive could be really key. So is there anything else that you could add to Danny's point there that you think would be useful?
Yeah, so with, you know, with SMEs, as a young professional, you're going to get more exposure to the big clients, the key clients. A lot of people our age, you know, as you know, as you say, there's a stereotype of them being a bit lazy, want to do flexible working, et cetera, but in my experience, it's more about, you know, hitting them big clients and being given the responsibility. The more responsibility you get as a young professional, I think the better it takes you throughout your career.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, really, really, really fascinating. And I guess as we come towards the final stint, the home leg of the show, and one of the things that I really love to do with the show and really, really love to do with our guests is to, I guess, kind of leave with a top tip. It could be something we've spoken about before. So I'm sure all of our guests are A-star students and will have their notepad with their highlighter ready to highlight all of the notes. But it could be something that I've just, as a terrible radio host, haven't asked you. So I guess if you were to just leave our guests with one tip, whether they be, or you can have two if you like, whether they be a young professional, your top tip that you would love to share, or whether they be a business owner looking to attract a young professional, or whether it be under the finance umbrella, I'll let you choose. But what would be your, I guess, leading tip, Danny?
My leading tip would be to push yourself out of your comfort zone. Listen with your ears, you have one mouth, listen to what people are telling you, remember the small details about people and take the time to get to know them away from those network and events as well. You'll find your people that, you know, you might not work with in the next sort of year, but 2-3 years down the line, then may become an opportunity. And if you've nurtured that relationship over time, you can give them a call, and you know that they're gonna receive the phone call and be very happy to help. So just really listen, nurture relationships, and just, even if you're nervous or you're sort of thinking that you're not naturally a social butterfly, just go for it. Just push yourself out of your comfort zone. You got this.
Amazing. Great tip. And what about yourself, Alex?
Just extending from Danny, you know, just throw yourself in it, prepared to work hard. And, you know, if you've got the motivation to carry on learning, you'll get places.
Amazing. Amazing. And if you don't mind, I'm going to give a top tip for the Oxfordshire business owner listening. I think that invest in our next generation. I think give opportunities, push out of comfort zone. And I think that a great example here this morning is NGI Finance. They put two of their absolute superstars on the radio, which I'm sure is a little bit stressful putting up with me for an hour. But again, it's an opportunity to grow and develop and have new experiences. So if you are listening, honestly, keep talking to your team about aspirations, keep them growing, keep them developing, because they will be the superstars that drive your business forward. But that is the end of the show. So thank you so much to my two guests on the Business Brunch here on Get Radio this morning. Just a reminder, if you have just joined in, we've been speaking about Oxford Young Professionals. And to do that, we've been joined by Danny and Alex, both of NGI Finance. And I think that both of them are really great examples of two individuals that have joined such a well-established firm here in Oxfordshire that have a great reputation and really continuing to run with that baton. So definitely, if you don't know NGI and if you don't know Danny or Alex, do reach out to them. They're a really, really great firm. And just a reminder, next week we are going to be back with some brand new guests. And next week, I'm doing a dual role. So I'm going to be joined by Jane Johnson, who runs a recruitment agency called Better People. And I'm sure I'm going to have lots to talk about as well. And we're going to be providing a recruitment update for you here in Oxfordshire together, which I'm really, really looking forward to. And finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. And do look out for the podcast version, which is available on every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And if you would prefer video, do look out for the video format, which is posted on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.